technology team that keeps all the sound going, keeps the screen going, and I don't know if you noticed when you walked in, we got a nice little booth back there. I think Don and Ken and Michael worked on that yesterday, so thank you guys for that. So today is audience participation sermon day, and so the first question I have for you, what are the perfect ingredients for a Thanksgiving meal? Turkey. Stuffing. Mashed potatoes. What's that? Something and cheese? Oh, macaroni and cheese. Okay, we got pie. I heard pie. Desserts, cranberry sauce. Homemade what? Oh, homemade dinner rolls. Nice. Triple chocolate cake. Nice. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about a different kind of recipe. Not for our favorite meal, but the ingredients of a proper Thanksgiving. When we talk a lot about in church about giving thanks to God, and sometimes we need to kind of just boil that down to really what does it mean to give thanks to God. So we're going to start with reading Psalms 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Amen? Amen. So this actually was one of the passages that was shared at our annual association conference this last weekend, a week and 2 days ago. Our regional minister shared this passage and commented on it, and while he was doing that, I was, you know, kind of wandering, my mind was kind of wandering and thinking about this passage, and it came to me that it's kind of in reverse order. It says, verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And it almost begs the question, why? Serve the Lord with gladness. Why? Come before his presence with singing. Why? Because you know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Why? Enter his courts with praise. Why? Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy endures. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So that's kind of what I want to unpack this morning a little bit, is the ingredients of giving thanks. And the first ingredient is the why, right? And it's we need to understand and acknowledge God. And do I mean in his entirety? No, we talked about in Sunday school. There's no way that we can possibly totally understand God. So we shouldn't even hope to. That's not really what I'm saying by saying understand and acknowledge God. But in order to give somebody thanks for something, there has to be an understanding of what they are doing, right? You don't give somebody thanks for nothing, right? You have to have an understanding of what God is doing in order to give him thanks. So verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation." Who God is one level of understanding. His attributes, his characteristics. Right? If we understand who God is, that will help us to be thankful to God. When we know that the Lord is good, then we can give him thanks for being good. And Romans 1:21 tells us what happens when we fail to understand who God is, or at least to accept and to glorify him that way. Romans 1:21 says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." When we fail to give God the praise or the understanding for what he has done, then our hearts grow dark, right? And as parents, we probably can understand how this works, right? Our kids often don't show the appreciation they ought to because they don't have the understanding, right? I know when I was a kid, I just expected my dad to do all these things without complaining for me, right? Without complaining, without fail, because that was what dads did. It wasn't until I got older and became a dad myself and realized just how selfish I was as a child, right? I mean, I honestly can remember at the age of 14 thinking, I cannot wait to get a child myself and show my dad just how much better of a parent I would be. And it wasn't but 10 years later, I remember writing him a card saying, "Boy, did I get that wrong." But I didn't understand, right? I didn't see it from his perspective. I didn't see the sacrifice that he made for me. I didn't acknowledge what all he did for me. You know, as a child, your parents take you out to eat, right? And you're upset because you didn't get, you know, the exact item that you had wanted, right? And you fail to consider that your parents have spent their time, their energy, their labor to be able to give you this opportunity. And it's for the same for us. When we come to God, we must start with an understanding and acknowledgement of who God is. What are some of the things that Scripture says God is? I'm going to give you a few, and then I'm going to let you give me a few more. You don't have to give me passages of Scripture necessarily. I'm going to give you some examples. But give me some other things that God is to us that help us to understand and acknowledge God. So one, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29 says that God is a consuming fire. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He is always present. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He's a helper, just the next verse. So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" God is just. Psalm 7:11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He is merciful. Psalms 116:5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. He is judge. But God is the judge. He puts one down. He puts down one and exalts another. What are some other characteristics of who God is? Loving. Gracious. Provider. Sustainer. Father. Yep. Two more. Comforter. Yep. Consistent. Yes. Does not change. Very good. So we need to have an understanding of who God is and an understanding of what He has done. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We were talking in Sunday school about what are some of the essential things that a person would need to know in order to have faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I said was that God is the Creator. And I've been talking with this guy, his name's Adam, and he's a physicist. He's really, really smart in his own opinion. And he's got it all figured out that there's this equation that he knows that allowed the world to come into existence on its own, and there's no design in the universe. And there's no God, and, you know, he's just got it all figured out. And when you take that away from God, well, that he exists, his own existence is quite a bit to try to take away from him, but when you take in your response to who God is and you say, no, you're not the Creator anymore, right? Then we don't give God the honor or glory that is due God, because when you own something because you've created it, you get to decide how it should work. You get to decide whether it brings you glory or pleasure or whatever you created it for. If we don't say that God created us, then why in the world would we want to live according to His ways, His rules, His plan? And so God is the Creator. What has He done? He created you and me. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and earth, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." God has created. He is the deliverer. Psalm 107:10-22 says, "Those who sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses, and He brought them out of darkness, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgressions, and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. And their soul abhorred all manner of food. And they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses, and He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. He is the deliverer. He has also redeemed us. Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God is our Redeemer. I want to show you a couple pictures here that I took in recently that talk about, or that demonstrate God's creation, the beauty of God's creation. This was taken a couple weeks ago. I was on the way to the store, and this is Larry's shop there on 37. Just a beautiful sunset. And then the other day we were out taking pictures with Nicole, some family pictures. And it was just right as the sun was setting and the stars were coming out. Just the beauty of God's creation. Just amazing. One of the ingredients of praise is to understand and acknowledge God, who he is, what he has done. The next part or ingredient in giving God thanksgiving is to experience the work of his hands. These two pictures here demonstrate how we experience the beauty of God's creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." What are some of the other things that God has created that we see beauty in? Let's hear from you guys. What are some things that we know that are beautiful that God has created besides sunsets? Our children. Sometimes they're beautiful. Sometimes they're beautifully frustrating. But yes, children are beautiful. Ecosystems, yes? The ocean. Flowers, yes. What's that? Animals, yes, absolutely. Family, very good. That brings us to number two, knowing God's love. We experience the work of his hands through seeing the beauty of his creation. We also experience the work of his hands through knowing God's love. 1 John 4, 12 through 16 says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." When somebody that rejects the existence of God, I always ask them, what is love to you? Because if the world has no purpose, then love is a very empty thing. There's nothing really about it. Love is a demonstration of God's existence. It shows he has a purpose in this life. And as we receive love, as we give love, it is a great assurance of who God is, because we get to experience it. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us. When we reach out to our neighbor and show kindness to him, right? we get to experience God's love. Gaylord and Gail were talking about how they've been arguing recently in Sunday school. And when they forgive each other, right? And they make up. That's love, right? And they get to experience the goodness of God. Unity in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-16 says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men or the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from which the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. To me, potlucks are a great example of this, right? Everybody comes and brings something to share, and it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We get to experience who God is in the unity of His body, the fellowship. Another way we experience who God is, the experience, the work of His hands, is the blessing of doing God's will. Psalms 1:1-3 says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, it's interesting. Today we live in a day and age where people would rather tear down every advantage that another person has built in their life instead of doing the work to study and understand how they might obtain that same advantage. The Bible says that there is a real blessing when we walk in God's way, when we walk according to His path. When we do that, we experience the blessing of His will. The last one I want to talk about that we experience, there's many, many more. Maybe when I get done here, I'll ask you for a few. But the joy of worship. Psalms 100:2. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. When we come together on Sunday morning, there is a spirit in the air. We sing out of a joyful heart. And it's beautiful. Not only do we appreciate hearing the praises of others, but we feel the joy that comes from worshiping God, knowing that He is pleased when we do this. We know that it honors Him, it gives Him praise, and it is the proper response for who He is. What's another way that we experience the work of God's hands? Yes, helping a neighbor. Very good. One more. Yes, absolutely. Yes, very good. Seed time and harvest. Very good. So, as we think about these things, as we understand who God is, right, and then we experience the work of His hands, the proper response is praise and admiration. We praise God and admire Him. We adore Him. We love on Him. We worship Him for two reasons. One, for who He is to us. And two, what He has done in our life. If you look throughout the Old Testament, you'll see all these times where God says, remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. And what is He remembering? Telling them to remember? Examples of God's faithfulness to His people. Examples of God's love for His people. We praise and admire God for who He is to us. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. This is Psalms 101. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. And therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. Think about going on an airplane trip. Right? You know who the pilot is. He's announced at the beginning, right? And then you go on the trip and you don't crash. And you get off the plane and you say, what? You say, thanks to the last pilot who flew this plane, not this guy. Right? No, you thank the guy whose experience you've had. He's the one that flew your plane, right? It would be very odd to hear somebody say, well, I'm thankful for the previous pilot who I didn't fly with. No, we thank God for what He has done for us. Yes, we can thank Him for what He has done for others as well. But it is more heartfelt when we understand who God is, what He's done for us, and then give Him praise for it. And then also we praise Him for what He has done in our life. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Psalm 66, 1 through 5 says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth, sing out of the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You, and all the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of man. As we go out of this place, as we go about our week, as we gather together with family and friends throughout this Thanksgiving, I want you to think about those three ingredients, right? Understanding, experiencing, and then praising. Or admiring, adoring. And let's make sure that we are giving God the praise that is due His name. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You are such an awesome God. Lord, we could not even spend, we could spend all day and not even touch all of the things that You have done for us. Psalms 139 says that Your thoughts toward us could not even be numbered. That You love us so much, each and every one of us. And yes, Lord, You do allow us to go through trials and tribulations because You give us a will and a choice of who we want to serve. And so often we make that wrong choice that takes us away from your perfect path. But Lord, sometimes you even allow, as we're following you faithfully, you allow hardship to come into our way, to test our faith, to strengthen us, to help us to grow. But Lord, if that's all we focused on in this life, boy, would we miss out. There are so many wonderful things. The beauty of friendship, the beauty of love, the beauty of your creation, watching a child grow and mature, becoming a grandparent. Lord, you have just given us so many wonderful things, not only in this life, but to look forward into to the next, to be in your presence, to see you face to face, to be able to honor you and sing together with people that we've read about in our Bibles, and to just thank you for what you've done for us, for all of eternity. Lord, we can't even imagine all of the things that you have in store for us. Lord, I know that as a parent, on Christmas morning, we look forward to seeing the excitement in our child's eyes as they open their presents. And Lord, I know that you have that same anticipation when we get to heaven, when this life, this world ends, and we're ushered into eternity. I know you have that same anticipation. I cannot wait for them to get up here and show them what I have in store. But until that day, Lord, we are truly thankful. You are an awesome God. You are wonderful. You've done so much for us, and you want to do so much more. So, Lord, I pray that we would continue to build faith and trust in your path, in your way, to follow you, to admire you, to joyfully serve you, to come into your presence, and to give you the praise of our lips, the sacrifice that you deserve, because you are awesome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.